Is this on? Am I good? John chapter 16, your Bibles. John chapter 16. I do want to say a special thank you to Pastor Slagle and his... I say that right. I always feel like I'm just messing it up. Like, shum, blah, blah, blah. Does that sound good? Okay, maybe that's how you guys talk up here. I don't know. We actually just came from Westport, Massachusetts. Talk about an education. I mean, we had to have a translator go with us, help us, and it worked out all right, though. We saw some people saved, and so it's all good. But anyways, I do want to say a special thank you to him and his family and their invitation allowing us to be here. Thank you for those who've had a part this week already. Thank you for those who brought food, allowing our team to lodge with you, whatever you have done. You've had a part in this ministry. I know you guys are very familiar with my brother Mike Washer. He's a little uglier than I am, so if you compare us, just you recognize me, all right? He does have a smaller nose than I do, but it's okay. And anyways, he's better than basketball and I am, so anytime, and he's 7 years older than I am, so anytime that you ask me about him, I have to say something mean about him because that's what brothers do. So don't talk to me about my brother or it'll get really bad, okay? I'm just kidding. I love the guy, but he's my boss. So anytime I can say something about him, I have to. So we actually joined National Hoops about 3 years ago. We were a youth pastor, and God put it on our heart to simply step out by faith and do something. We didn't know what it was, actually. And I knew that God was leading us somewhere, but we stepped out by faith and just said, okay, God, whatever you want us to do. And my brother had been pushing us away and saying, no, you stay youth pastor, stay youth pastor. And I had planned on doing that. But God just, in my prayer time, said, no, you need to go somewhere. I didn't know where we were going to go. Long story short, went to my brother and said, hey, this is where we're not being a youth pastor anymore. And he said, well, we've actually been praying for somebody to take over another team to do soccer along with basketball. And that's just how God works. And you step out and you obey, and then he leads you where you need to go. And so that was 3 years ago. And now our team does soccer and basketball tournaments, and his team does basketball tournaments. There again, we do more than he does, okay? Just want to make you aware of that. But actually, we don't do as many soccer as basketball because it's easier to find a parking lot to do basketball. It's harder to find a soccer field, especially when you're talking about smaller churches. So, but again, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. I was actually here, I think it was 3 years ago, during training, learning how to lead the team. We're actually, my wife is missing tonight. I would introduce her. And then we have three little crumb crunchers, 4-year-old Ethan, and then we have a 2-year-old Hudson, and then a 5-month-old, I guess, about that, Austin. So those are the three boys, and my wife is Emily. We met at Bob Jones and got married about 6 years ago. And then we have our team. We're missing two of them. Christy, our team member, she's back in South Carolina for a wedding. And then Taylor is from Virginia. And then we have these two still here. This is Sarah. Wave at them. Say hi. She's from Tampa area. And then James is from Oregon. And I made the mistake of this morning saying, you've really met someone for real from Oregon. They all said, well, pastor's from Oregon. So now you've met two, okay? Two people from Oregon. You can say you've met them. So there's nobody else in Oregon. So that's it. No more. The only two normal people. Well, kind of. John chapter 16, your Bibles, we're going to read verse 23 and verse 24. It says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the truth that so often corrects us, challenges us, convicts us, teaches, admonishes. Lord, it reproves, it rebukes, it exhorts us. Lord, thank you for preaching of the Word of God. Lord, thank you that we can do that here. Thank you for this church, Pastor Schlegel and his faithfulness, his love for you and his love for the Word of God. His love for these people. Lord, I pray that you would use us this week as we're here to give the gospel to teenagers and even adults around here in a powerful way. Lord, we know that your burden, your passion is for souls, and we simply want to get behind that. Lord, you said go, and so we're going. Lord, I pray that you would use these verses in a powerful way to challenge us on prayer, to challenge us as we seek you. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be clear, help me to be concise, understandable. Lord, I pray that these hearers here would go away not only hearing the Word of God, but doers, being doers of the Word. Lord, I depend upon your Spirit. I cannot preach my own. In fact, you said the flesh profits nothing. And so, Lord, would you use the Word of God in a powerful way tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. Some of the scariest seconds in all of a National Hoops team member's lives are when we have to stand in front of people at a school and talk to them about somehow trying to get in there to give out flyers. And I remember one time I stood at a place called Bob Jones High, not to be confused with Bob Jones University. This is actually in Huntsville, Alabama. And I stood there before, I think it was a vice principal. And basically what our goal is to go and talk to the principal, assistant principal, athletic director, whoever it may be, to somehow get into their lunchtime and pass out as many flyers as we want to. Now, as I'm standing there, I mean, God works in miraculous ways, which, by the way, continue to pray for this area. It seems like many of these schools are just kind of just telling us to go away. Like just, hey, you have to set up an appointment. It's in a strange way that I haven't seen in a long time how people are just simply ignoring us. Most of the time they say no, or they say sure, but they're just kind of ignoring us. So would you pray? Would you pray that God would let us in? Okay, we need to be let in some of these schools around here. And continue to do the effort yourself in getting those flyers out. But anyways, I'm standing there, I'm trying to talk to him, and it's always amazing. You give a flyer to somebody, and it says on there, you know, that the gospel is going to be preached, and they simply look at it, they look at the back, and they say, sure. And they don't even read it. God blinds their eyes to that. We put on there that it's a Christian tournament. So this guy took it, and, oh, okay, sure, come in. And we're talking about this high school was probably the biggest one I've been into up until that point, 2,500, 3,000 students, probably plus more than that. And so they said, yeah, you can come in. Well, the scariest moment is when you come back the next day and you're supposed to be let in for that lunch. Because there's no telling what Satan has done overnight. So you're standing there in front of the secretary, and by the way, secretaries at public schools, they think that they're principals. I don't know what it is. And so they tell us what to do. And so I'm standing there and I say, hi, I'm with National Hoops, and the assistant principal said that we could come in and hand out flyers. And I'm waiting for her to go, are you an idiot? No, you're not doing that. So I get really nervous. I mean, it's just a natural thing. I'm getting nervous. And his name is Mr. Wilson. I said, Mr. Wilson said we could come in. And I'm waiting. She gets on the walkie-talkie, says, Mr. Wilson, there's a fellow here with, who are you with again? National Hoops that says they're supposed to come in. And I'm waiting for him to go, yeah, tell that bozo to go away. I don't know who they are. But there's nothing like the feeling when you're standing there in front of the secretary and Mr. Wilson walks around the corner and goes, hey, I'm glad you made it. Good. It's good for you to be here. Hey, come on. Let me go get you set up. Do you need a table? What else can I do for you? Well, I'd like some sweet tea if you got some of that. But anyways, come in here and we'll do whatever you want. And I love that phrase. Whatever else you need, you just let us know. I mean, there is nothing like, and maybe you've had this experience before, there's nothing like having somebody step in between you and somebody like a secretary, or step in between you and somebody or something, and take your place, and allow you to come in or allow you to do something. I know we were eating at a restaurant one time, and somehow we saw somebody that we knew, and it was with my whole family, which is big, about a bunch of people there, and we went to pay, and they said, somebody's already paid for you. The guy that we knew that was sitting far away had gone through and already paid for our whole family. There's nothing like that. I don't know if someone has ever taken to the grocery store and stepped in between you and the cashier and said, hey, let me pay for something, or hey, let me take care of this something. There's nothing like it. But I'm afraid sometimes when it comes to prayer, we don't understand this. We don't understand how much the intercession of Christ enables us to come boldly before the throne. Christ steps in between us and the Father and says, come boldly. You ask whatever. And yet when we pray, I think sometimes we just go through the motions. We're just kind of doing it, and it's what we do because we're Christians. And listen, our entrance before the throne of grace has been paid for, and the right of entrance is at Christ's expense. That expense was not the ending, but just the beginning of all that is ours through the intercession of Christ. How's your prayer life? Do you understand what you really have, the freedom that you have in Christ? Every believer needs to understand the opportunities of prayer through the intercession of Christ. Before we get started in the message, let me just review a little bit. Let me just preview this. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, it says this. Jesus said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt." And Andrew Murray says this, "When Christ said, 'Father, not what I will,' He secured for His people the right to say to them, 'Ask whatever ye will.' He said, 'Not my will, I gladly go to the cross.' And when He did that, He became our intercessor, and now we can ask anything we want. Ask whatever you will. Our Lord always wins for us the opposite of what He suffered." The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." It's present tense, meaning right now, Christ is making intercession for us. Thomas Watson said this, quote, "Christ went more readily to the cross than we do to the throne of grace." Christ went more readily to the cross than we do to the throne of grace. We have to understand what the intercession of Christ brings us. You know, the first thing it brings us is availability. Look at verse 23. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it." Now, if you look at other parts of Scripture, Matthew chapter 21, again he says that all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing... And I just dropped it. I think I just missed the hook. Oh well, that'll work. "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." John chapter 14 says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." John 15, "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." 1 John 5, "If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Now, I don't know if you do any research of the language is there in the Bible, but do you realize what the word whatsoever means? You'll never believe this. It means whatsoever. Anything. Anything. Now, I'm not preaching some gospel where, like people on the television, where you pay a little money, pray a little prayer, and you'll get anything you want. Okay, this whole message is balanced. But we first start off by saying this, whatsoever. Anything you ask is what he says. Whatsoever, anything. I think sometimes we get this grown-up prayer mentality. We can't pray for certain things because that's for the little kids to pray for. We can't pray for those little things because that's too little. I remember my brother's kids one day, and they were praying for something called carpet shoes. Have you ever heard him mention that? Carpet shoes. I guess you can run and slide across the carpet. They didn't have those back in my day. And so they were praying for that. Do you realize something? God cares. It's not like they were lusting after that or coveting that. They simply prayed, "God, if you want us to have carpet shoes, would you supply those?" Somebody gave them money so they could get carpet shoes. That's whatsoever. Anything. Listen, nothing is below what God thinks is important in your life. You know, one day I was praying with my son Ethan. This is probably when he was 3. And he said this, "Dear Jesus, help me to understand mommy." So I prayed, "Lord Jesus, I second that." And you said, "If two of us agree on earth to touch anything, it shall be done." No, I didn't pray that. But really, I think what he was trying to say was, help me. We would always say, "Do you understand mommy? Do you understand that?" So in other words, he just wanted to obey, is what he was saying. But that, I mean, we could ask anything. Ask anything. You know, sometimes we should go back to being a child and say, "God, I would really like this. Do you think you could provide it?" Now, obviously, if God doesn't want to provide it, He won't. But I think we should ask more openly. You know, have you been to the point when you're so hesitant to start praying about something because you feel like it's below God's answering? Maybe you think it's too big for God. Maybe you think you'll be presuming upon God. We need to understand that the intercession of Christ brings availability. It also brings admittance. Look at verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You know the word Father appears 11 times in John 16 and 111 verses in the book of John. Obviously emphasizing it. Our Father. In John chapter 20, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, I love this, and your Father. And to my God and your God. Galatians 4:6 says this, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, or Daddy. Have you lost that intimacy with God? Daddy, please provide this for our family. Abba was used with warm intimacy and respect. But in fact, in Jewish circles, it was never a form of address to the Almighty. And now it is. I can say, Abba, Father. You know, in Luke chapter 11, it tells about the story of someone. It says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you as a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, it's just like this. Let's say that maybe back in your day when you were playing with your friends, okay, and you're just playing all over the neighborhood going crazy and doing all sorts of bad stuff, and your dad hasn't met your friend yet, and so you're going all over the place, and then you come home to your house, and you bring your friend, if you're a boy, or you just bring your guy friend there, and you say, Daddy, this is my friend, Billy. And then the daddy says, nice to meet you, Billy. Come in and what? Make yourself at home. Now, people tell us that on the road. And we used to stay in people's houses. And I'm just warning you, if I'm ever without my fifth wheel and you tell me to make myself at home in your house, I will. I will raid your fridge and find the chocolate milk. I will drink it. And if you have any kind of chocolate cereal, I will eat that too. Why? Because you make yourself at home. What does that mean? You have free reign throughout the house. I remember my best friend, one of my best friends growing up, his parents would do that all the time. Make yourself at home. And I really did feel like I'd start calling them dad, mom, because they let me do whatever. I was their child at that point. Now, wouldn't it be odd if I had the opportunity, there I am as this boy's friend, maybe I'm Billy, and his dad says to me, why don't you make yourself at home and come in and do whatever you want? And I say, no, thank you. I'll just stay out here in the lobby area. And you just take your son, and I'll just stay out here, and I don't want to intrude on anything. That would be odd. And yet that's what many of us do when it comes to prayer. Christ says, Father, this is my friend, Jonathan Washer. And we go, I don't want to presume, and I don't want to come. No, we have the riches of the Father's house. We can go and take any of it. Yeah, we don't. We simply stay in the lobby and we don't take what is ours through Christ. We have that availability. We have that admittance through Christ. We also have authority. Look at verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. John 14:12 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, when you say we can go in his name, in Christ's name, I did a lot of reading on Andrew Murray when he was talking about this passage. And he says this, going in the name of someone else gives us three different ideas. It could be a life union. In other words, a father and his son. My dad, I don't know if you've noticed me walk or not, but I have a slight limp, right? Actually, it's a pretty big limp. When I was 11 years old, I was diagnosed with some kind of disease that deformed my hip, and so I've just walked funny my whole life. People in college used to think I was trying to be cool, But that, I didn't take that. Okay, I was just cool. All right, I was just cool. So and so I've had it since I was 11 years old. It doesn't stop me. I just play sports, whatever. But I thought it was about time because it was starting to mess my back up to go and get some kind of shoe inserts or something to work on my shoe. And so my dad's a doctor, and I first went to him and said, "Hey, who do you recommend?" And he said, "I know somebody, and they know me, and so why don't you go here?" He told me where to go, and so I stepped in this doctor's office, some orthopedic something or other, and I stood there at the secretary again. We love secretaries, I guess, and we like Rita, though. We love Rita as she's in here, and Miss Rita. And she said, "How can I help you?" I said, "Well, I'm here. My dad, Dennis Washer, sent me here. I don't know who I'm supposed to see, what I'm supposed to do, but I'm supposed to get inserts to my shoes." And she, again, looked at me like I was strange. And then the doctor came around the corner, and I said, "My name is Jonathan Washer. My dad's Dennis Washer. Do you know him?" "Oh, yeah. Come on back. Let me take care of you. Let's figure out whatever's going on." And so he came back and got my shoe insert and all that stuff. And why was I allowed to go in? Because of my dad. It's a life union. Because my dad's name. Some places we go, and in fact, in many churches we go to, they'll say, "Hey, who's your dad? Dennis Washer?" "Yeah," and so then I'll ask for money. I'm just kidding, I'll do that. But sometimes because of that union, I can get stuff. "Hey, my dad's Dennis Washer, you know him?" And we were able to ask for things that we may not be able to because of the power of a name. When we go in someone's name, we go in their authority. We go under what they say. And I got to the doctor's office and I say, "My dad is my authority. He said I was supposed to go here." And they say, "Yep, you're right. Come on back." That's going in someone's name, or it could be a love union, is what he says. In other words, it's a poor girl who has nothing growing up, and then she marries some rich guy. Maybe that's what every girl's dream is. Marries some rich guy, and then she gets his debit card or credit card. And when she goes to the store and she swipes that credit card, whose name is she going in? Her husband's. She used to have nothing. She's poor. But she's going in her husband's name, and she has that right now. She has that right to spend all his money if she wants. Why? Because of that love union. It's the same way with us and God. That love union. We used to be poor, wretched, blind, miserable, and now our eyes are open. Now we're the sons of God. Now we have that opportunity, and He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And now we have that opportunity to spend all His money, if you want to put it that way. We have that opportunity, that love union. How about a legal union? When a merchant leaves all to his clerk, he says, "You write whatever you need to write to. Write all the checks you need to write." You know, it's like this with my brother. When we started with National Hoops, we had nothing. In fact, we just had a trailer that was empty. And we had to get all the equipment that he had. And so some people had provided money for us to be able to start up our ministry because we needed to start from scratch. And so my brother said, "Hey, I want you to take a trip to Walmart. It's always the best place to start." And he gave me this long list. And he said, you get whatever we need." That's exciting. And so I'm there at Walmart. I'm throwing all sorts of stuff in there, stuff that we need. And he told me to write a check or use a card. And I went in my boss's authority. I can do that. I can swipe that debit. Now, there's been some times, and let's just take this back to the Lord. There's been some times when I've come to buy something, I say, "Wait a minute. What would my brother want me to do?" And I think over my brother's heart and his passion and the funds available, and I say, I think he would want us to do this. Or, "I don't think he'd want us to do this." And sometimes I've been wrong, and I've been almost fired. And sometimes I've been wrong, and I guess right. And I've guessed his heart right. It's the same way with the Lord. When we go in His name, we know Him. I'm going in Christ's name, but maybe I don't know if this is where I should go. And I should probably, with my brother, I should probably call and ask. And with the Lord, we say, "Lord, I want to ask this in Your name, but I'm not sure. Would You give me liberty, peace about this? But I know that You said, whatsoever I ask, You will provide." And so there's a balance. You know, sometimes you can go in the wrong name. Sometimes you don't know who God, you don't understand His character. There's a story told in the 1960s in San Francisco. Many hippies, they moved down to the coast to Santa Cruz, right? They had children, they got married, and they didn't really name their children like Melissa or James or they're hippies, and so they started naming their kids things like Frisbee or Time Warp or Spring Fever. Eventually, Moonbeam, Earth, Love, and Precious Promise all ended up in public schools. That's when the kindergartners first met fruit stands. Every fall, according to tradition, parents bravely apply name tags to their children, kiss them goodbye, and send them off to school on the bus. So it was for fruit stand. The teachers thought the boy's name was odd, but they tried to make the best of it. I mean, it kind of goes along with Moonbeam, Earth, Love, and Precious Promise, right? So all day they said, would you like to play with blocks, fruit stand? Would you like to play with these, fruit stand? Would you like to do a puzzle, fruit stand? How about a snack, fruit stand? Well, he accepted hesitantly. By the end of the day, they didn't really... His name didn't seem much odder than Heather's or Sunray's. So at dismissal time, the teachers led the children out to the buses. Fruit stand, do you know which one is your bus? He didn't answer. That wasn't strange. He hadn't answered them all day. Lots of children are shy in the first day of school. It didn't matter. The teachers had instructed parents to write the names of their children's bus stops on the reverse side of their name tags. The teacher simply turned over the tag. There, neatly printed, was the word Anthony. Some of you will get that tomorrow, okay? They were calling him by the wrong name, okay? He was supposed to stop at fruit stand. That's a silly illustration, but really sometimes when we come to God in prayer, I think it's that we're that far off. We don't really understand who he is. We're not calling him by the right name, by who he is, his character. Again, it's not like it's name it and claim it. You ask it and there it is. There's a balance to all of this. So the intercession of Christ brings availability, admittance, and authority. The intercession of Christ enables us to ask. Look at verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. In other words, they had asked him all sorts of questions, okay? They didn't have a really clear knowledge of some of the really deep mysteries, okay? And so they had asked him some ignorant questions. That's what Matthew Henry says. They asked him ignorant questions, ambitious questions, distrustful questions, some impertinent questions, and even some curious questions. But not anymore. Not anymore. The Spirit of God will illuminate them and show them the answer to these questions. And he says this, you're not going to ask, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. In other words, you've asked me a lot of questions, but you haven't asked for something, or you haven't asked for some power or some strength or for something to be done. Ask, and you shall receive. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Start asking. Start asking. And keep asking. He says, keep asking. James 4, 2 says this, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. Why? Because ye ask not. Ye ask not. He says, start asking. Listen, those simple things in your life, start asking and don't stop. How many times have we done this? And I confess this. And we pray for something for a week or 2 weeks, and then we just kind of think, well, God doesn't care about that. He must not be answering my prayer. No, in fact, he probably is answering your prayer and making you wait and trust in him and take his word right back to him and say, Lord, you promised this. You promised this part of Scripture. You promised, Lord, you promised this, and I'm asking this in your name. He wants us to wait. Many times he simply wants us to wait and just trust him. And the fact is, we're supposed to keep asking. Keep asking. The intercession of Christ brings availability, admittance, the ability to ask. It brings abundance of joy. I love this part. Look at verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask. Keep asking, and ye shall receive. The word receive means to receive what is your own. 106 times in the Scripture it means to take. Take what is your own. He's given it to you. And yet he says, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full or fulfilled, that it might come to an end. It might come to completion. And here's what he says. I don't know if you've ever had this happen. I hope it has happened to you. But you're praying for something, and God does it. What does it do to your soul? There's a joy there. There's a thrill. God, you just answered my prayer. You showed yourself powerful. I want to ask again. Do something else again. That our joy might be full. There's nothing like the joy of seeing the powerful hand of God on our life. He says, ask. That you may receive, that your joy may be full. In John 15:11 it says this, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John 17:13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. There's no thrill in seeing God answer prayer. There's actually, I hope that you're not offended by this, and I apologize. I'm actually preaching from an iPad. I hope that's okay. And it actually is very convenient because I can take it, anywhere. And I got the messages right on there. Now, this thing is not cheap. And I know that I'm mentioning a lot of stuff about money, okay? Please don't think that I'm up here, like, begging church. I don't do this everywhere, okay? It's part of the message. And so, I left all my sermons in Miami, Florida. There's a couple notebooks that I would carry around. And I thought, you know, it's about time to go paperless. I don't like paper. And so I started praying for this. Lord, would you provide this? And I know, Lord, it's kind of one of those things where I said, Lord, I want to ask it in your name. I lost all my sermons. That means I'll have to preach, print them all out again. I mean, they're on Dropbox, but I have to print them all out again. And Lord, do you see how much I've helped up? Some pastor came to me and said, and he's asked us this before, he said, Jonathan, I want to supply a need for you. What have you been praying for? And at first, I kind of skirted around the issue. I talked about needing some clothes or something, or shoes. And God said, no, you're not asking for that stuff. You tell him what you're asking for. I said, okay, God, I'll tell him what I'm asking for. I said, Pastor, I know this is kind of strange, but I'm asking for an iPad. He said, oh, that's great. I want to give some money to that account so that you can get that. So that added to that, and a few weeks later, one of my wife's relatives was just hanging out with us. They secretly gave us some money, and it was just enough to go purchase this. Listen, God cares. God cares. And when that happened, and now I preach after, I study from it, I write all sorts of stuff on it. It's like my commentaries on it, all sorts of stuff, and it's been a big help to me. And it was a joy when I was able to get it. God cares. God cares. Boy, I wish I would pray for more things like that and see the joy that is fulfilled. Now, don't get me wrong, you know what I mean. We pray for things that we need and that God will supply in our desires. The intercession of Christ brings availability. It brings admittance. It brings authority. We're able to ask. And it brings abundance of joy. So we walk in that lunchroom at Bob Jones High. He sets us down. We got all these flyers we're giving out because of Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson let us in and told us we could do whatever we want. Listen, it's the same way with our Father. Christ is our interceder. He is our intercession. He is our opportunity to come boldly before the Father, and yet we don't take advantage of that. We just kind of go through the motions and pray what everybody else is praying and give us a good day and give us this and help her to be healed. There's so much more than that. Let me tell you a story and then we'll be done. One of my good friends is actually a youth pastor. We were just with him a few weeks ago in Apex, North Carolina, which is near Raleigh. And Catawba Springs is the name of the church. Pastor Woodruff is the pastor. And this guy, Jonas is his name. He seems to have everybody in his church that is somebody or knows somebody. And so he has guys in his church that are named the Buffaloes. And they actually own a bowling alley. They own a golf course. When I was with them, we went to the golf course. Now, it's a redneck golf course, but it was still free. It was nice. You could wear whatever you want. And so, but I never forget the time that we were with him. My whole family is with him. And Jonas said, Mr. Buffalo says you could come to the bowling alley. And again, it's just like the school illustration. We walk in and we don't know what we're doing, and all we said was, Jonas Harley sent us here. And Mr. Buffalo says, oh, yeah, you must be John the Wall. Yeah, come on in. We reserved lanes 26 and 27. You guys go over there and have a good time. And there we are bowling away and having a wonderful time. My kids are using those little things where you just push the ball down and it rolls down that thing and having a good time. And then, this kind of topped it all off. We're on our way out and he gives us a bucket of coins. That was exciting for me, okay? And so, I mean, we spent, you know, all sorts of minutes trying to win that iPod or whatever. You know the thing that hangs in there and you got to build a block? You're never going to win it. By the way, don't try it. Okay? You're never going to win it. So we're throwing all these coins in and then we're having a good time trying to win all sorts of tokens and stuff. We were excited. It was exciting. Now, that's such a physical thing and someone provided that for us, but really it's because of one person, Jonas. He allowed us in. Listen, you have that in Christ. Now, I'm not saying you're getting a bucket of coins, but I think we're missing a lot in our Christianity by not coming boldly to the throne and saying, God, you said, whatsoever I ask in your name, you will do it. And continue praying, ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. You have that in Christ. Are you taking advantage of that? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for these people and their faithfulness here tonight. Lord, we're about